Greetings, authors. Welcome back to the Adventures of an Amateur Author podcast. I am your host, Peter James, a.k.a. Knight Rider. As always, I'm going to be sharing with you my adventures in the world of a fledgling novelist. As we get started this week, I'd like to cover it. It has been a little while, almost a month, since this last episode was produced and output. This is a sort of a side project to my other podcast. So my podcasting time kind of gets eaten up sometimes by Inside Neverwhere. But AAA, Adventures of an Amateur Author, isn't going to be intermittent. I meant truly to get to this well ahead of now. But it has been an odd set of weeks. So my week of writing, usually I talk about my month of writing has been rather eventful, as you might expect. Now, if you've never listened to the show before, my novel, Dragon by Night, is about halfway done. Actually, I'd say it's reaching the 3/5 point. It's a little more than halfway finished. And by that I mean I have, of the total number of chapters I have planned and figured for to tell the story that I have in mind, I have written about 3/5 of them. Which means, since last we spoke, I've written the 3 chapters. And on a fairly, I'd say fairly even basis, maybe a little slow, all things considered. Now I think what kind of slowed me down, from 3 weeks or so of writing, I would expect 9 chapters, not 3, or at least like 6. I'm going about half as fast as I would like to. Part of that I owe to about a week's worth of work lost, because I realized that I did not plot a certain important plot element. Real quick to recap my writing method, I set aside some time by myself. Sometimes I do it on my lunch break at work, sometimes when I'm home, to open my netbook and put on some either classical or jazz that kind of plays in the background, drowns out all the things, and sort of serves as a white noise background in order to keep me focused on the work. I'm actually finding that the music itself is kind of getting me into the mode, so I am I use it when I'm writing anything. And what I do when I'm starting a chapter, usually if I'm not ready to start the next chapter when I'm finishing up the day's worth of writing, I at least start the outline for the scene or sequel. As we've talked about before, scenes and sequels, how you structure a novel, optimally, a newbie author such as myself should structure them scene, sequel, back and forth, back and back to back to back to back, in order to keep the flow of the novel consistent. Even with some of the newbie mistakes I've been making in my novel, I am seeing progress thanks to that particular tool of scene and sequel. Briefly, scenes and sequels are useful because scenes are where you blow things up, sequels are where you make readers care about them. Scenes are where the important things happen, and sequels are where your characters have a chance to react and make decisions about what's going to happen next. They're the heart and soul of your novel. And I've certainly found that that using the scene-sequel format has definitely brought results with the readers. The readers that I have gotten feedback from have let me know that they enjoy this or don't enjoy that based on, and I can take that back to, okay, how did I write this? Because I still have all the forms filled out for that particular chapter. I can tell where scene and sequel end. It's very obvious in my work, probably not going to be so obvious in an expert's work, but I am an amateur author, so I don't claim to be the be-all and all of writing and podcast, or podcasting for that matter, but that's not really relevant here. So I lost about a week's worth of work, which wasn't all that much when you consider how much I had to throw away. I realized that I did not plot a certain important element to the main plot. One of the conditions that basically puts the characters where they are at the start of the novel, I forgot to plan out when I would tell the reader about it. And I found that when you don't have a plan for something, and you run into it in the middle of the story, it's a little hard to say, oh, okay, here's a good place for that. When you're not really 100% sure, you're going, maybe this might be a good place for it later, maybe I shouldn't show this all too much too early. One of the things that I've heard in feedback that I don't necessarily like hearing is that the readers felt it was, they acknowledged that it was an expositionary chapter. I don't feel like... I don't feel like that I enjoy that, hearing that, especially not about the midway point or further of the novel. I feel like, obviously, we're always learning about the characters, but I feel like this late in the novel, the plot should be more important than the exposition. But in any case, that kind of tangent came from talking about the plot here. So, obviously, you do not want the reader to know, to notice when they're getting exposition, so it's always best not to make it obvious if possible. But in this case, it was obvious, you know, despite my best efforts, and it's ultimately it's not that big of a deal. But anyway, so this plot element that I'm not quite sure, that I wasn't quite sure about, I decided to sort of leave vague for now. I'm actually not sure I will ever outright tell the readers about it. It is sort of relevant. And actually, I just lied. I think I did tell the readers about this in one of the most recent chapters that I've written. If you are reading Dragon by Night, the plot element has to do with Dragon and they use their real names, Lance and Danny, their fairy godmother, and the curse that binds their bloodline to them. Okay. Sorry about that. I had to take a break here. Okay. The plot element in question was the bloodline curse that basically binds their bloodline in servitude to their godmother. Their godmother, it's important to the godmother because this is the only way she can influence the real world. This bond to the bloodline is the only thing she has binding her to any, to connecting her to any mortals anywhere, and is the only way that she can get anything done. She has been banished to a pocket dimension, sort of like a prison dimension, where it's only her, it's solitude forever, but she's found this loophole where she can talk with the mortals in the bloodline that she's cursed. Because the ancient originator, Solitaire, he betrayed her. He was a human servant of hers, and he betrayed her to her bosses, and she makes the bloodline pay for it. And one of the problems that I had with how to tell the audience this was because I don't think Travesty would have told them, and the way the story went, I don't think their parents told them either, especially not with how things went. Right on the time the boys turned 13. When the boys turned 13, that was when they lost their parents, and that was when they separated until they were 16, and it was the first time they'd seen each other in 3 years at the start of this novel. So I actually sort of briefly tried to briefly explain it as little as was relevant to the plot as possible in order not to bog down the chapters. I'm kind of taking the approach that I will write as leanly as I need to in order to tell the baseline story, and if I need to add on subplots that readers are interested in, I certainly can. I certainly don't want to try and tackle all the stories I ever have for these characters in my head at one time. Maybe there will be a series someday. Maybe after a couple more books, I'll come back and go, okay, I'll pick up the next book and write it, and maybe it'll never get published. Maybe it'll only be for the joy and for the enjoyment of myself and the readers who have found it since then. But I definitely feel that. I've heard and definitely feel that Dragon by Night could be a publishable quality. It could be the end product novel could be something that I could definitely sell and start a career with. But in any case. So I basically had about half a chapter written and threw it out because I was like, well, it's not very, it wasn't really sure how to deal with it. I started trying to approach it from a way that they already knew about it, but really the way I played it was that the characters knew as little about it as I needed them to, and that was the extent of their knowledge, so that they can still learn about it if it comes up. I would think of that mainly as a background detail because of, you know, it's basically exposition in that, oh, this is why the characters are where they are at this point in the story. I feel like it might have been worked better into the start of the story rather than the midway point, I do feel it's important, so I wanted to establish the characters first, so I'm not exactly sure what to do with that. Maybe after a couple books, I'll have a definite stronger opinion. You'll hear it on this podcast. Who knows? Also, this month, I have set a goal that by the end of this calendar year, I will have written a total of 3 novels. Now, this doesn't give me a whole lot of time before National Novel Writing Month in November. November is now 3 months away. So, and then November is, start of November being 2 months away from the end of the year. So, I'm hoping to have this novel done within a matter of a month or so, and then have the next novel started within that long. I'm hoping to streamline that process and try to keep the best content going that I can with as little editing as possible, but some editing may be necessary that I may just find out that's part of the job. That's just a part of the job I haven't gotten to yet. Writing novels is a part-time job. Podcasting about it kind of goes along with it as a personal thing that I'm doing to help myself with it, and also something that I feel I can get extra content out of, because I did want to make a video blog series titled Adventures of an Amateur Author, but I do not have a webcam, and I don't look good on camera, and I don't like getting dressed up for a show where I just talk to something. I already do a podcast where I don't have to do that stuff, so I figured do a writing podcast as well. Anyway, I've set the goal by the end of the year to have written a total of 3 novels. Have written another one before National Novel Writing Month starts, and have it written by the end of the month, and be editing it in December to have it completely finished by the end of the year. Whether or not the first two are completely finished by the end of the year is completely voluntary, but I want to have those 3 things done. So I'm writing it down, and I'm talking about it on the show, because that's a goal I definitely want to meet. Today's date is August 5th, so I've got about 4 months left. So I've got a little bit of time, but not a whole lot. Actually, counting all of this month, all of December, it's really 5 months, five total months, because this is the start of this month. But considering how far I am through Dragon by Night, this seems like a reachable goal. If nothing else, I want to at least write a whole novel in National Novel Writing Month, and definitely have it completed. Now, I'm not sure about the rules on National Novel Writing Month. I'll have to check in with that on whether you can do any pre-writing, or everything has to be, all the work has to be started and done in NaNoWriMo. But I'll talk about that when we come to that point in another couple of months here. So you'll hear about that when we're closer to November. But that's my goal, and I'll be talking about it every week to kind of keep you updated on how far I am, how the progress is, if I'm happy or not with my progress, how far I've come in the week, sort of as a way of keeping myself accountable for how I'm working. But I feel overall that Dragon by Night is coming along well. I feel that the characters are interesting to readers, because I'm getting good feedback about that. I feel that the plot line is intriguing, because I definitely enjoyed writing chapters 10 and 11. I feel that the overall story that I'm telling here is an interesting one, that the characters are good and fleshed out, that there's potential for plenty more to be told here from the perspective of other characters, particularly because this is a third-person novel, which bounces around the POV between a couple characters. So I definitely feel that this novel is coming along. It's coming along pretty well, all things considered. 6 chapters written over the course of a month and a half, 2 months, is way better progress than I have made ever before in my career. So it's definitely a step up. I'm definitely coming into my own a little bit here. Definitely making some progress, and I can see my improvement here. AAA podcast is kind of where I talk about that stuff. But this podcast isn't only about my writing, it's also about related media, the things that have interested me and kind of caught my attention. 2 things that I want to talk about, both shows that I've watched and not books that I've read. The first thing I want to talk about is Red vs. Blue. If you are not familiar with Red vs. Blue, Red vs. Blue is a comedy machinima series, machinima being a show that's captured completely within a game engine of some sort. And this game is Halo, the Halo franchise. Red vs. Blue seasons 1 through 5, I think, were shot in Halo 1 and Halo 2. 6 through 10 I think were shot with Halo 3 and Halo ODST. I'm pretty sure. So that the following seasons, 11 and 12, I'm not entirely sure about. But Red vs. Blue is a comedy and machinima series using the Halo Halo universe about two teams, a red team and a blue team, of faceless soldiers wearing their power armor, who get into fights over nothing, and they realize they start discovering their role in the universe is much smaller than they imagined, but it is no less meaningful for doing so through their involvement with these people called the Freelancers. Now, the reason Red vs. Blue has interested me, because I've always held a very warm spot in my heart for comedy, some sci-fi comedy series, but also for a comedy series which can get dramatic, and very dramatic. It's really nice. You start getting interested in something because it makes you laugh, and then you really get invested in it because it also makes you want to cry. It's a very interesting dynamic in that show, and I really, really love it. I completely buy 100% of it. Like, I don't have a break from disbelief. My willing suspension of disbelief is consistent throughout the whole experience. Red vs. Blue is entertaining not only because it's sci-fi comedy, but because slowly the storyline starts to build on itself, and you really get into the meat. And the real meat of the story by switching back and forth from present day to, you know, 3, 5, 10 years in the past, however long ago it was, to the heyday of the Freelancers. And you know, not only do you get to see what the world has become after the war with the Covenant and the Freelancers, the Freelancer Project has shut down, but you also see, you know, how Freelancer Project got to the way it was. You really get to see how things happened. And it's really, really interesting, especially with characters that are showing up in the both present and past storylines. But in any case, it's definitely a great show. It's got me really interested. I finished season 10 a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks ago. And I haven't yet started season 11, because season 11... I kind of binge-watched seasons 1 through 10. Season 11 is the penultimate, currently the penultimate season, meaning it's the second to the most current season. If I finish it, there will only be one... If I watch it, I will watch it in all one burst, I promise you. And there will only be one season, and it's the current season, which is still in progress, to watch, which I'm not accustomed to. So I'm not hugely hugely a fan of waiting, so especially for something that's really, really caught my interest. But I understand it takes time to make good content. Anyone should be able to tell, but myself especially should know how much work it takes to get a good product, especially just from your ideas. Anyhow, sorry about that. The other thing I've been getting really into is Sword Art Online. And this was another show which I had watched more or less as an entirety, a good chunk of time beforehand. But I recently returned to it because other people were reminding me that it's a show and that they were enjoying it for the first time. And I was going, you know, I really kind of watched it, kind of half-watched it the first time. So now I'll watch it, and really, really, now that I know where things are going, my attention can be on all the details. So I'm rewatching it, catching all those details. I'm catching the writing. And the writing for a TV show is different from a writing for a novel. You write for a novel once in one sitting, and it's done. And when it's finally finished, it stays in that form for a good, good long time. When you write for a show, it's never completely finished because you've completed that particular piece. But then that piece starts up again next week, and people are going to want to know where it continues from there. It's a serial that we keep coming back to. We're going, okay, what happens next? What happens next? It's very, very good. The only problem with that is that the writing can change drastically with little or no notice. I mean, you kind of see this with my novel Dragon by Night, in that I started it several years ago. And where it was then and where it is now, you can definitely tell the difference in product between the first chapter and the most current chapter. Kind of like that. You can definitely tell that Sword Art Online had some, I would say, executive meddling, but whatever the original cause of it, there has been some inconsistency, somewhat, to the storyline in Sword Art Online. If you watch SAO, it's on Netflix or Hulu or Crunchyroll. It is highly entertaining, highly investigating for the first series. That's for the first 14 episodes. The end of the 14th episode is the end of the first series. The second series drops off in quality tremendously, and I've only watched the first couple episodes of that. After I got so far into that, I got sick of it, and I couldn't watch anymore, and I just put it down. Because in the first season, there's a character named Asuna. If you're familiar with the show, you'll know exactly who I'm talking about. Asuna is awesome in every way, shape, or form. Asuna is a character who is every bit, because it's an MMO, there's no physical distinction between male and female characters. People look like themselves in real life, but they're just as tough whether they're male or female. So in Sword Art Online, Asuna is just as tough as anyone else. In point of fact, throughout the course of the show, she's actually tougher than the protagonist, the male hero. What makes this interesting is that, you know, she's also the love interest, but there's no I'm the hero and you're the damsel aspect to it in the first series. That's all I'll say about the second series in terms of that. But there's no damsel aspect. There's no save the girl. It's usually about them saving one another from their emotional troubles, being trapped in this MMO that's trying to kill everyone. If you're unfamiliar with SAO's storyline is there is an MMORPG that comes out that its combat system is purely sword skills with little or no magic, and which is reference to one of the things that sort of changed over time. In the beginning of this show, they say that there's only sword skills. And in the later seasons, there's magic everywhere. People have magic, and it's just a thing that we're supposed to accept. In any case, there's this MMO that's got this combat system, mainly around swords, but it's played in a different way. It's not played with a keyboard and a mouse. You put on this nerve gear. It's like a headset that you dive into the game with. You are experiencing virtual reality. Your body doesn't move. Your body doesn't respond to its commands because the headset is intercepting all of those commands and sending it to the game avatar instead. So you feel the game avatar is your real body. The problem is that the players are trapped in the game with no means to escape because the nerve gear will kill whoever has it forcefully removed because of the way it's functioning, and the gear intercepts their own commands to take it off. So you can't make yourself take it off unless you can log into the game first. You basically can interrupt the game before you can take it off. The problem is that the game is hardcore mode, permadeath, and if you die in the game, you die for real. So it's very high stakes, and it's a very long-term MMO, which is very long-term anime, which I really liked. The storyline takes place over many, many, many months, 2 years. In fact, and it's quite interesting seeing the progress of the characters over two years of their lives, and especially seeing, kind of wondering the whole time. It's like, what's happening to their bodies right now? It's like, well, their bodies, their families have really discovered them, and they're taken to the hospital, they're being fed, but their bodies aren't moving, but they're still connected to the nerve gear because if it's forcibly removed, it kills them. So that was really cool, having that question answered after about 10 episodes of wondering. But Sword Art Online is interesting to me from a creation standpoint, in that it's unique in its field. I don't think I've ever seen another anime that treats the male and female as being on par with one another. There's no damsel aspect of save the girl and win the day. It's she's just the same kind of person you are. Speaking from the male standpoint, that is absolutely way more interesting than save the girl crap. I mean, if I'm speaking honestly, I hate when a storyline does that. I mean, we've seen way too much of it already. And of course, we're getting progressive-minded with our stories. We're beginning to move forward with how we tell them. So it's understandable we're getting away from those old tropes, those old cliches almost now of save the girl and win the day. Or win the girl, however you want to put it. But basically that the woman in your life is nothing more than a prize. Once you've won it, you're done. But it's not. It's real relationships that are more like a partnership, you know, equal parts. You're supporting one another, and that's something I've learned in my own love life that has really been interesting to me to see in Sword Art Online, because not only are Kirito and Asuna such wonderful partners together in terms of the game world, but they develop this bond and they get married and they're so happy together. Even though they're in this horrible world where anyone could die at the drop of a hat, and they're, you know, they're struggling to get everyone free of it, but at the same time they're trying to not go crazy. So they're spending time together and enjoying one another's company, and it's a joy to see. Sword Art Online has definitely got one of the best inter-character relationships I've seen in most anything, and definitely best in an anime. The most in-depth between two people, and it feels very real. It's very believable, and they do a very good job of making them both interesting, flawed people. You know, complete realized people. And of course, it doesn't hurt that it's an action anime because it's an MMORPG. Of course, there's all the familiar tropes of getting raid groups together and downing a boss. And, you know, forming up parties to grind. It's a hardcore MMO, like I said, so once things are cleared, they're clear. And people are fighting to get the clear so that they can get XP, so they can level up, so they can win the game for when they get everyone home. And there are some people who are only out for themselves, and they're like, there's player killers in this MMO. It's great. I mean, if you love MMORPGs, if you love MMOs, specifically MMORPGs, if you love a good inter-character relationship, if you're big into, you know, male-female dynamics, definitely check out Sword Art Online if you have not already. And that's really all that I wanted to talk about on this episode of Adventures of an Amateur Author. I have almost reached my time, so I'll go ahead and wrap things up today. I'll leave you with a few thoughts. If you'd like to read my novel, you can find it on Booksy.com and fanfiction.net under the title Dragon by Night. Feel free to drop me a line letting me know what you thought. On that note, if you want to tweet it to me, you can find me at Knight Rider Books. That's NITWRITERBOOKS. I'm on Twitter all of the time, so hit me up anytime you feel like. As always, the intro and outro music for the show is Backdrop Story by composer I Am Brahms, provided by freesoundtrackmusic.com. If you're interested in hearing more of my voice, I do another podcast. It's called Inside Neverwinter. I and my co-hosts J-Dog and Phobet, we talk about the MMORPG Neverwinter, made by Cryptic and published by Perfect World Entertainment. Cryptic are the same people who made Champions Online and City of Heroes. So it's an epic system, absolutely just awesome, and we love it. And we talk about all the new stuff coming with it every week. You know, coming up in about a week and some days is the next expansion pack, and it is called Tyranny of Dragons. It is looking awesome, and we can't wait to play it. We've already done some mini casts on it, showing it off. And on that note, if you'd like to find those, you can find those on YouTube under the name on user DJ Takuya. That's my channel, and you can find all the Neverwinter minicasts, most of the Neverwinter podcasts. I'm working on getting every episode uploaded on YouTube. It's a work of a time project, as well as every episode uploaded to the Podbean on iTunes there, so we can get our feed completely updated. On that note, I think I've said everything I want to say here. So check me out on Twitter at NetWriterBooks. Find me on Booksy or fanfiction.net. Find the title Dragon by Night. That's where the story will be. The story is updated first on Booksy.com, so if you want to catch the most recent updates, that's where you find it. And on YouTube, and as DJ Takuya, where I've got, you know, Let's Plays going on. I just finished Pokemon Sage, which is a fan-made Pokemon game. Very, very good stuff. Cannot say enough good stuff about it. Can't wait until that game fully comes out, and I'll do a full Nuzlocke run for that game. Not completely blind, because I've learned a little bit in my play, but it has been an awesome experience playing that game, even the demo. As well as Neverwinter Let's Plays and Foundries. Foundries are user-generated content, which, again, a subject very close to my heart. So that's going to do it for me, listeners, authors. Thanks for tuning in, checking out, and hanging out with me today on Adventures of an Amateur Author. I shall see you next week. Until then, safe writing. Bye-bye.